This is How Success Happens, where the staff of Entrepreneur chats with innovators, writers, artists, chefs, and a range of other unique personalities to better understand the traits that make excellence possible.
Nobody in Silicon Valley thinks it's actually them. They think everybody else is like this.
One of my regrets actually now, we should have pulled the plug sooner.
It's amazing when the universe sees you commit, how all of a sudden all these resources start to come together.
Thanks for joining us. And now, How Success Happens.
I'm Liz Weber, Insights Editor at Entrepreneur.com. Today, I'm talking to Lauren McGoodwin, founder and CEO of Career Contessa, a website that helps women take control of their professional lives. Lauren has some great tips for anyone looking to get to the next level professionally, but also shares some of her own mistakes and the lessons she's learned while building a business and defining her unique career path. Hi, Lauren. Thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
Your site, Career Contessa, is dedicated to helping women succeed in the workplace. But first off, I'd like to talk a little bit about your success story. What is your background, and how did that lead you to found Career Contessa?
I'll try to make the story quick so you guys don't have to relive the last, 10, 15 years with me. So I went to college to become a teacher. And the reason why that's sort of important is because a lot of what we're doing at Career Contessa is, teaching and providing information. But I went to college. I thought I wanted to be an elementary school teacher. I quickly realized somewhere around junior year, while I love teaching, second and third graders were not going to be where I would be successful for the rest of my life. So instead of changing careers or majors, I decided I was just going to become very obsessive and best friends with the career center at school. And that was really where I first kind of got obsessed with everything related to how do people determine what career to go into? How are they successful there? How do they, build not just build careers versus jobs? But even with all of that and being the Career Center's poster child, I still graduated without any job prospects. It was pretty sad. I also graduated in 2009, and to be fair, there weren't a lot of job prospects for anybody back then. But it was still really surprising. Certainly there was an expectation hangover that came from sort of, graduating college, you're at the top of your game, feeling like you're going to start this next chapter of your career. And it was kind of like, riding to the top of the mountain and then like sinking down. So I ended up taking a job working as an admin assistant. And while I was there, obviously it wasn't my favorite job. And I started to become, again, really obsessive with figuring out, okay, these people who like their jobs and enjoy spending 8 hours a day there, what are they doing? How did they get there? And that kind of led into eventually me discovering recruiting as a career. And I learned everything I could about recruiting by having a ton of informational interviews and eventually landed a job as a recruiter working for a startup here in LA. It was a night and day difference being fulfilled and happy in my career versus not, including in my own personal life. And when I got the job in recruiting, I was also enrolled in a master's program. I was working at a university, and so luckily I was allowed to take tuition-free classes in a master's program. And I started working on my master's thesis, which was on millennial women and career resources. And that is really where Career Contessa started to come about, because Career Contessa was the prototype that I made during my master's. And so that prototype was obviously created out of a lot of research, but also my own personal experience and then my professional experience. As a recruiter, I was on the other side of the hiring table. And when I graduated in 2013, I decided to keep Career Contessa going. At the time, it was, like a fraction of what it is today, but I decided to keep it going because I thought maybe I would leverage it into a new career opportunity. I was a recruiter, but maybe I wanted to become a product manager or something. And I had a developer I was traveling with at the time. He's like, "Well, I hope you have a website." And I was like, "Well, I kind of do." So I kept it around, quote unquote founded it at that time because I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do, but I knew I've always been super passionate, as you can tell, about careers and sort of the science behind that and all the organizational development and things like that go into it. So yeah, that was sort of the beginning of what is now Career Contessa. Was really kind of almost by accident, but also a requirement for my for my school project.
Well, that's great that you were able to leverage that project into what it is today. Now that you told us how you got there, tell me more about what the site is and what you're hoping to accomplish. But first, a word from our sponsor.
Hey, this is Dan Bova, editorial director of Entrepreneur.com. Here's a crazy statistic. More than one quarter of all Americans say they'd start their own business in the next year if they could, but only a fraction of those actually do it. Why? Well, because taking that leap can be scary. So luckily, there's Weebly. Weebly is the easiest way to create an incredible looking website. But more importantly, it comes with a whole bunch of tools to help you sell your products, process payment, manage inventory, create marketing campaigns, and grow your brand. And because Weebly's mission is to help turn people's great ideas into successful businesses, they've built an incredible support team. If you have a question, just pick up the phone to talk to a customer success expert. No scripts, no robots, just a friendly human who can help you do what needs doing. So if you've got a product or idea you want to share with the world, check out Weebly. You can have a beautiful, powerful online store up and running in a matter of hours. And because you listen to this podcast, you can visit weebly.com/HSH and get 15% off your first purchase. Don't just build a beautiful website, build a successful online business with Weebly.
Now that you told us how you got there, tell me more about what the site is and what you're hoping to accomplish.
So when I first launched it, it was meant to be a site where you could go and you could read interviews about women and their career paths, because what I was really very much learning at the time is, wow, careers are no longer linear. People are not staying in careers for 30 years. People are literally making up job titles as they go. So when we first started, our goal was to have this really amazing interview series where we interviewed women in a variety of industries, stages of life, and really learned what is your job and how do you get there. And then when I left to my recruiting job to work on Career Contessa full time, that is when I really decided, you know what, we need to do more than just help women figure out what job they want. And the difference between Career Contessa and a lot of sites out there is that we're not a job site, we're a career site. So our whole goal that we're trying to accomplish is, how can we help women create fulfilling careers on their terms? And we do that in a variety of ways, but the goal there is that we can make the workplace better for women, and we can make the workplace adapt to, you know, what women are looking for, and we can help women really, like I said, make these careers that are going to be fulfilling. And what I learned firsthand is that when you are fulfilled in your career, it's really great for everything around you, your kids, your families, your relationships, the work that you're actually working on. So, Our goal is, what we hope to accomplish with the site is to create this one-stop shop for a woman's career that can be with them whether they're figuring out what they want to do, they're actively job searching, or, you know, the other part that everyone always forgets about, which is, how are you going to be successful in your career once you get that job? And I think it's interesting because a job offer, it's like a quick transaction, right? You've interviewed, you've got the job, now you have to do the work, and now you have to navigate the waters that are the workplace and the bosses, and, you know, influence this person and give a presentation over here. And that stuff is really tough. And how can we provide the access to the tools and the resources that women need to do that?
That's really interesting. You know, a lot of the times you think of getting the job as the biggest hurdle, but then, you know, there's so much more that comes after that that you have to work on in order to really succeed and make the most of that job offer.
Absolutely. And for women, I mean, let's, you know, not screw around the issue. There are issues that are harder for them and only apply to them that, you know, some men will just never experience too. And so, you know, yes, job searching is still tough. I'm not going to say it's not, but yes, there's a whole other, not to sound too depressing, but there's a whole other slew of issues or challenges that are waiting for you on the other side too.
It sounds like you've kind of lived the message of the site in that you've defined your own career path. I believe this is your first business, your first time being an entrepreneur. What was the biggest challenge that you encountered when you were launching the site and becoming an entrepreneur?
Yeah, I think one is very practical, cash flow. Having enough cash to launch a site and do everything that it takes to maintain a site and really turn it into something that then other people will pay you to use or advertise with or work with, et cetera. But the bigger one is really trusting my intuition. It's really interesting. When I first left my job to work on Career Contessa full time, I wish I could sort of bottle up that emotion or thought, because I was very free of anything other than my intuition guiding me on what I wanted to build and why I wanted to build it. That my first year of entrepreneurship, I kind of felt like I was chasing this shiny ball around. You know, someone would say, oh, have you thought about this? Or maybe you should be a media company. What about if you sell this? And, you know, I think I was so kind of, I think being an entrepreneur takes, it takes time to develop the leaning on the muscle that is your intuition. And I think that is something where it was probably the biggest challenge for me was I sort of started with a goal. I kind of went everywhere and anywhere. And then eventually I made a complete, you know, circle back to my original idea. But I spent a whole year kind of wasting my time chasing things that were just not a fit. And, you know, one thing I've noticed is that I knew they weren't a fit, but when you listen to other people or you chase, you know, again, that quick answer, quick solution, it doesn't usually end up being that anyway.
I think that's so important as an entrepreneur to learn when it's appropriate to get outside advice and when you just need to trust your gut and go with what you think is going to be the best for your business.
Absolutely. And, you know, people are trying to be helpful. They're not trying to sabotage you. But I do think when you're an entrepreneur, everyone's favorite sentence to say to you is, you know what you should do? And you're like, no, tell me, what should I do? You know, and I think also as a first-time entrepreneur, I really wanted, you know, people to tell me what to do. I was sort of what I was used to, having come from a background where I always had a boss and now I was in charge. And so that was a steep learning curve for sure.
As it is for many entrepreneurs. So when you launched Career Contessa, was it just you working on the site?
Essentially, I actually had a woman that I was working with. So when I before I launched, it was just our interview series, and we were going out and taking photos of our interviewees versus having them, you know, send in a headshot. And so I had connected with a woman who was helping me with that, and she kind of became my number two in the sense of like I would do all the content and she would work with the photos. And then she actually had a friend who was a great copy editor and was like, oh, she'll help as well. But these were people who were giving, you know, maybe 5 hours a month of their time and helping me for free because they liked the project, or eventually I was paying them out of my own pocket. But as far, and they didn't live in LA. So as far as, you know, actually launching the site and getting it up and all that great stuff, yeah, it was me completely on my own. And then right after I left my full-time job, they both left. So it was just me figuring out everything for a period of time, which was really challenging. Like I definitely have learned about myself that I love working with other people, and it's good for me to work with other people. So, you know, luckily I didn't have to do that for too long.
At what point did you start bringing on other team members to grow the site? And, you know, what has that journey been like going from just you to now a team of people?
Yeah, so it took me about a year before I was able to hire my first full-time employee. I had a couple of contractors and I had some interns before that, but nobody who was dedicated full-time to Career Contessa. So it took me about a year to do that. Since then, the team has grown very slowly, but in, you know, slowly in the sense of like, we want to be really careful that when we hire people, we can make sure that, look, we have the payroll that we can make every month. You know, we do offer benefits at Career Contessa. So it was really important to me to, I would rather grow slowly and add the team slowly. Now we're at about a team of 12. So in the last 3 years, we went from 1 to 12, which is, you know, we haven't taken outside funding. And so could I have grown faster if I had taken outside funding? Of course. But I actually love that I've been able to slowly learn and add the parts of the team that are the most crucial. The other thing that's really unique about growing slowly and building your team slowly like that is that I've actually done every single job that I'm now hiring and asking someone to do. And that has definitely made me a better manager, but also much better when it comes to hiring as well.
I'm sure it has. And, you know, you talked a little bit about your experience as a recruiter. Do you think that influences how you hire people and what you're looking for and, you know, the types of people that you do end up hiring?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first, we're a career site. So when we go to hire, you know, we're looking for people who have read our site and are probably going to follow our advice. So when it comes to applying for a job, it's like we're telling you every day through our advice and our content tips for job searching. So ideally, we want the person who's applying to really genuinely be interested in what we're doing. And that means probably a reader of Career Contessa. Maybe they're on our email list and they're going to use our own tips usually to apply, which is also kind of fun because they're like, you know, you guys told me to do this exact thing, and I'm doing it while I apply. But as a recruiter also, I have the benefit of when I was a recruiter for another company, I got to work with lots of different hiring managers, and I got to negotiate with tons of different people at all different departments and skill levels and stages. And so all of that has come in handy, you know, so much. I don't think I would actually be successful at career Contessa without my recruiting background. But what I really look for when I am recruiting new employees is I want someone who's going to be two steps ahead. You know, I really, especially at a startup, I really can't afford to hire someone where I'm going to have to tell them step by step how to do something. I need to give them step one, and then they figure out steps, you know, two through five on their own. And that's what will make them successful in this role. But two, that's also what our team needs right now. And so that's been really helpful, is just sort of also, again, having recruited so many people in the past, is now you start to understand what personality traits would do really well in this environment. And I always have to remind myself of that. It's like, don't take the first person that you think would be good, because they might be, you know, their skill set might be great for the actual job, but are they the right culture fit? Is this culture going to be successful for them, or is this small startup, you know, very scrappy environment not a great fit? And part of that comes down to, okay, like, are you thinking multiple steps ahead? Are you able to adapt and be agile constantly? It's not every once in a while, it's constant here.
That's something we hear a lot from the entrepreneurs that we speak to, the importance of culture fit, and then also thinking about maybe this employee would be good for this role right now, but are they capable of taking that role in a new direction, growing with the company as the company grows?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And that's always a tough part about startups, is sometimes the people you hire in the beginning, when the company starts rolling out into versions 2, 3, and 4, they're not the right person anymore. And that's painful as well. But that is the reality of high growth companies. And I would, you know, that's why everyone on your show is probably saying that for sure.
Switching gears a little bit, one of the reasons you said you started Career Contessa is that you were up for a promotion and it ended up going to a male colleague. What advice would you give women who might be in a similar position?
Yeah, so when I say up for a promotion, I always use air quotes, because it was one of those silent promotions. So essentially, I never asked for the promotion, but I had been on the team and running the whole team for about 3 years. And then I got a male counterpart, and he had been there for 6 months, and he pitched the fact that he should be the leader of the team, and here's what it was. So essentially, he got the promotion. But I think the biggest lesson there I have for myself and for others is he got it because he also asked. You know, I didn't ask. I figured I'm going to work really hard, and they're going to notice my hard work, and they're going to reward me when they're ready or when the time is. It never occurred to me ever that somebody who was new to the team also would then be in charge of it. I don't think it had a whole lot to do with the fact that he was male or female, but I do think it comes down to the fact that as a male, he was probably less likely to sit around and say, I'm going to wait for them to come to me to bring it, you know? So my advice to everyone that I constantly give out is just, you know, ask for what you want and be ahead of the game. You know, if you think that you're going to see what they do at annual reviews and then ask, you're too late. And I really wish I had been much more proactive in my career versus reactive. Reactive is a really tough spot to be operating from and be successful. And now, you know, I'm really careful about, or I think about that a lot in my career now, is just as an entrepreneur, how can I constantly be proactive? Because the moment might come and be gone so quickly that you don't have time to be anything other than that.
I think that's something that a lot of people struggle with, not just women, is knowing when to ask, and just asking in general. You never know what's going to happen until you ask for it.
Yeah, and I think it's very much one of those things where people don't know what they have, or what, you know, maybe your manager doesn't even know that there needs to be a leader of that team until you mention to them, I think there should be a leader of the team, and pitch them on the idea, you know. And I just, you know, in a way, I'm sort of thankful that he did that, because it was really eye-opening to me to say, like, wow, like, you just pitched them on this. Like, I have ideas. And I think that's another lesson, is like, you can pitch and show your creative side at any time. And that was, you know, kind of a lesson I learned, was I wasn't trying to change their way of doing things. But essentially for managers too, I realize now, they need employees to be in charge of their own career planning, because there's one manager and there's a lot of you. And so he was probably doing a huge service to them. And so that's another thing, is career planning is not, your manager being in charge of your career. It's you being in charge of what you want in your career and advocating successfully on behalf of that.
That's really good advice. One way that you at Career Contessa are trying to help women kind of take control of their careers is a new project you're working on called the Salary Project. And it allows users to compare salaries across different jobs and different industries. How did you decide to start this project? What was the inspiration? How did it come about?
So it originally started about 2.5 years ago as an editorial piece. We were sitting around and we thought, you know what people would probably love is to know how much money other people make in their jobs, because nobody talks about it. And yet it's a huge negotiation tip, right? Or a tactic is people will say, if you want to negotiate, first figure out what the market value rate is, yada, yada. Well, we started as an editorial piece and we called it the Salary Project, but we were collecting salaries via a Google Doc. So you can imagine that's not the most official way to be collecting data. And what I realized is that if we were going to actually use this data to create real change, it had to be in a way that we could verify who the users were to make sure it wasn't spam. We needed to do it in a way that was organized so that people could get real-time updates and actually have it be like a practical tool. So the inspiration came from, it was an overwhelming positive response when we published it in an editorial piece to begin with. And then last fall, we started to work with our developers to say, okay, we need to make this a real database and create it into a tool that lives on the site. And what people can do is they can submit their salary anonymously. And then the first part is we will give you a personalized salary report. So how does your salary compare to others in similar industries and job functions? If you give us a little bit more information, we will then give you access to our entire database. So imagine an Excel sheet that just has just tons, you know, over 5,000 pieces of data. I always joke it's the best rabbit hole to go down and get lost in throughout the day, because you get to see right then and there, like, here's how much this woman who's 35 lives in Birmingham, Alabama. This is her job title. This is her ethnicity. This is how much her salary is. And those are huge, important pieces of data that can, you know, and I truly believe that knowledge is power. And by giving women this power through this salary knowledge, they can go out and maybe ask for a raise confidently. They can say, hey, something's not right. Like, my salary is a lot lower than this. I'm going to investigate it more. Or, you know, maybe someone who always wanted to go work for nonprofits but was constantly told by everyone around her, nonprofits, working in a nonprofit, you won't make any money. You can go on the Salary Project and say, actually, that's not true. Here are 15 women who make six figures and they work for nonprofits, and here are their job titles. So not only does it give you, you know, that type of information, but goes even more specific to know what's the job title, so you could set your goals on something that's much more realistic.
I think that's so helpful for women to know, particularly because talking about salary can often be very taboo. And, you know, there are sites out there where you can kind of search for it, but it doesn't always give you the best picture of your region or your industry. So having that whole database available seems like it would be really helpful to a lot of women who might not be sure where to start when it comes to salary.
Yeah, absolutely. Most sites also, they won't give you access to a database. They will show you a graph and a chart, and then you have to just decipher, you know, from there what that means. So we say, hey, you are the person who makes the decisions around here. Here's the database, and then go for it.
Very cool. What's the biggest mistake you see women make when it comes to talking about salary?
Well, one, they're not really talking about money. So I think the biggest mistake is not talking about money. I think you really have to, you know, negotiation in general is one of those, and I know I already talked about muscles, but like, it is a muscle. And the more you use it, the stronger it gets. And if you don't negotiate at all, or you don't talk about money at all, you will always be uncomfortable talking about money. So one of the biggest mistakes is just not talking about it. The second mistake I see is that, again, women sort of operate from a place of fear. I've had a lot of clients or readers of Career Contessa that will say, I really want to ask for this much. I looked it up. I talked to other people. I know that that's the going rate, but I'm afraid if I say this to them, it will scare them off or irritate them, and they will no longer want to talk to me. And so they operate from a place of fear rather than a place of power. And the power is, this is the market value of this skill. You have those skills. You're going to make an impact at the company and benefit them. Those are all wins for the company, and they, but they operate from a place of fear versus that power, which is this company needs me and I'm here to solve a problem for them.
I think it's important for women to hear that, that it's okay to ask for more money, to ask for what the industry says that you're worth.
And, you know, I want to be careful to not have the message be like, just ask for more. I actually kind of hate that. Like, ask for more with a very, concise, coherent, articulate argument or, you know, reason for why you're asking for more. I think there's been a lot of advice about women should negotiate more, but we're missing kind of the part two to that. It's like, know what your ask is and why that's your ask and be able to back it up, and back it up also with your accomplishments. If you've been working at a company for a while, be able to make sure that you can back it up with what have you done so far, that evidence. And so just to clarify, I want to be careful. Like, I don't want people to just start asking for more just for the sake of it. You know, there is a way to do it. And also, one of the best things you can do if you're nervous about negotiating this is practice in other places and in other ways first, like negotiate, you know, with your family about like what you're going to have for dinner or something, and get more comfortable with that, or do slow negotiations with your boss where they're saying yes to you about this and yes to you about that, and then make the big ask. And you know, hopefully you'll create this pattern of people saying yes to you, and that will help build your confidence. Because I also think a huge piece of being successful with your salary negotiation is just pure confidence, right? Just believing in yourself that when you go in there, you're walking in on a very solid foundation.
Definitely. And I think you make a good point. It goes back to what we were talking about earlier, where you can't expect that your work will just get recognized. You have to bring your accomplishments to the attention of your manager or your boss, whoever it is. And that's all part and parcel of that salary negotiation.
Yeah, absolutely.
So salary is not the only aspect, the only topic that you offer on Career Contessa. There are a wide variety of resources, articles, and advice available. And I'm sure that as the site has grown, you know, it's maybe gone in directions you might not have anticipated. It started out, obviously, just the interviews, and you've grown it from there. What has been the biggest surprise in terms of what readers have gravitated to, or what topics or features that they've asked you for?
Yeah, one that I've been kind of surprised by was just the ability to learn new skills, the acquisition of skills, right? And so women are recognizing that they want to keep their skills sharp. They want to be able to learn new softwares, and they want to have new tactics and methods for working through like workplace politics or this or that. So the online learning or the education piece, which is why it's so interesting, because I started off wanting to be an educator, you know, wanting to be a teacher. And that has been the part where I thought people would just really want the ability to apply for jobs and have access to career coaches so they could, you know, quickly solve the problem. But they're interested in continuous learning. They constantly want to be keeping their skills sharp and knowing what's sort of coming out ahead of them. And that's been really fascinating. It's just kind of their, I don't want to say like their obsession, that sounds kind of negative, but like they are really amazing when it comes to the continuous personal, professional development space.
That's great that it's kind of come full circle for you, going back to your undergrad experience.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you know, that we started with webinars, which were not very successful when we first started them. And now we've developed, you know, online courses that are, the production value is better, the content is, you know, well organized, and it treats it almost like you're back in school, the online courses do. But we started with webinars. My very first webinar was a complete disaster. And so it's been great to have the audience also stick with me as I've learned and figured it out along the way. And I think that's one of the great things about Career Contessa is, you know, we're not the largest career site out there, but we have an audience of highly, highly engaged and highly sophisticated readers that are saying, we're going to stick with you, we're going to learn as we grow, and they're going to cut me some slack if, you know, the first time I do it isn't perfect, which is a benefit of being a small, scrappy startup versus, you know, a huge corporation. So I have really appreciated that. And I, you know, as their careers have grown, we've developed products and services that they've needed too. So that's been really fascinating.
That's great that your readers have been so loyal that way. Are there any particular topics right now that you see are popping or are really getting the interest of your readers?
Yeah, I think skills around building resiliency, confidence, grit. So those are those soft skills that everybody knows are sort of requirements to be successful, and especially for leadership. But they're sort of like, okay, how do I develop this? You know, I wasn't born talking about resiliency or grit, or maybe confidence is an area where I recognize that I really need to start developing that executive presence, and how do I do that? So I would say that the skills that they're much more interested in are less, you know, creating a resume and preparing for an interview, which is fascinating. Like I said, we wanted Career Contessa to be a place where you could come after you found the job as well, and how do you build success in that? So that's an area. And then the other area is around flexibility. So a lot of women maybe have some flexibility in their career, or they want to start developing the career on their terms. So it's like, how do you advocate for flexibility? Or if your company already offers it, how do you set that up in a successful way? And these all come down, all of this comes down to like the methods you're using and having examples of how other people have done it and then setting it up. Because I would love to say that we can apply, you know, a one size fit all formula to all people in all companies, but that's not the case. And so we really have to be able to provide the framework and the tools, and then they have the ability to go in and create this in their workplace. And that is 10 times more powerful to me. You know, it's the whole, if you teach them a fish, you know, so to speak, we're sort of, I guess, more toward that metaphor. And that's much more powerful to me, because now we're giving them tools that they can use throughout their career. And that is better than kind of saying, okay, here's the answer. Just, you know, do this one thing and it will be fixed.
Yeah, definitely. And it's interesting you mentioned, you know, resiliency and flexibility, when those are kind of the two of the key skills or, you know, aspects that you encounter as an entrepreneur. All right. Well, it's been great talking to you about what Career Contessa has done and what your journey has been so far. Wondering, what is the next level of success for you, either personally or for the site? And, you know, how do you plan to get there?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think for me, it's going to be trying to create a little bit more balance for me personally and professionally. You know, the last 4 years have been, you know, very much weighted on the side of Career Contessa and building Career Contessa. And now I'm at a place where Career Contessa is going really well and we have a really solid team. And of course, I want to be able to continue to grow that. But I also want to be able to, you know, at some point probably think about starting a family and some other personal goals. So I would like to get to a place where I can figure out how to be better with that balance. And I think, you know, surprisingly, I'm sure Career Contessa will be better off when I'm a little bit more balanced. Right now, I'm definitely weighted on the Career Contessa side. So I think that is kind of more on the personal side. On the professional side, we have a ton of really exciting projects in the works for Career Contessa. And one thing I'll just say without giving this away is just like the changing side or the changing face that is content marketing is really fascinating to me. You know, you used to be able to create written content and that was enough. And I'm sure you guys know as an entrepreneur, but written content is just one form of content now. And so we are constantly having to stay really creative about okay, we have these tools and services that people can purchase and use, and that helps our revenue. But also, how do we keep people engaged with our brand? And what I realized is that, you know, content marketing is a huge piece of that. And how do you stay ahead of that? But also, how do you keep that engaged, loyal audience? And that is just a constant puzzle that we are putting together and adapting as we go.
Well, it sounds like you've got some exciting things in the works, and hopefully you'll be able to kind of take a step back and take a breather and let someone else take the reins a little bit on those upcoming projects to get yourself into that balance.
Fingers are crossed.
All right, Lauren, well, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been really great talking to you.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
We hope you enjoyed the episode. How Success Happens comes out every week. To catch each episode, please subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Like, share, and leave us a review so we can always be improving. Go to entrepreneur.com for more episodes of this show and our other great podcasts. Thanks for listening.